Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. And man, do we have a lot to talk about today. I don't want to hear anybody complain about officiating ever again. No Knick fan can ever say the league is against you and that the league doesn't want the Knicks to win. Don't ever, ever, ever utter those words again. Because after last night, you have the 1-0 lead in the series that I told you was vital, was critical, was essential in hoping to win this second round series against the Pacers. And yes, it still took Brunson brilliance. It still took a huge, big, you-know-what shot by Dante DiVincenzo. But you also got the benefit of a couple of a phantom whistle, of a foul call that is going to be all over the L2M later on today and has been all over the conversation across the country when it comes to NBA coverage. So, Knicks fans, don't say a word. Like Pat Riley said, keep your mouth shut. Just enjoy the win. Know that the Knicks did not have a great game but played well enough and got the benefit of some calls to win this and steal a game one at home. And now you got a chance on Wednesday night to improve and possibly go up 2-0 in the series. Bart Scott, how are you?
Can't complain, man. Can't complain at all. You know what I'm saying? I think you hit the nail right on the head. You know, and being honest, we have to call balls and strikes around here. If it's wrong, it's wrong, and we know that, you know, some things went their way. But, you know, so sad is, you know, that happens on other ends too. You know, so this, you know, sometimes better to be lucky than good. And yesterday the Knicks were both. Because it's concerning to me, you know, because I can't expect Brunson to stay on this pace. And maybe he can, you know, but, you know, it shows you that, you know, it's a reason why Michael Jordan, Bernard King, and Jerry West, you know, has six. You know, so, I mean, we're talking about historical if he can keep this up, but we know likely that's not the case. And we need some other people to come to the party. And I'm not talking about from an offensive standpoint. I also don't believe, you know, I thought Josh Hart did a great job in keeping a minute just with his will and intestinal fortitude, the type of shape that this man is in to be able to play every second of every game.
48 minutes again.
And still be able to play at a high level. It's not like he's coasting to the finish line. It's like, you know, when we're doing that conditioning test, and we got some guys to just, they make it through that line, he's running through the line. Like, all right, if we had more, I could give you more. If we went to overtime, I can be the difference. I can be the spark. But, you know, at some point, there, you know, DiVincenzo isn't going to have such a great shooting night. Hart's not going to have that pep or the touch on a shot to be able to get to the basket, get into the lane, and get those, you know, those buckets in lane. And Haliburton, you know, outstanding player, isn't going to have 6 points. I'm concerned with, you know, we know it's like one of those things like where we know what the advantage for the Pacers are, the pace, and the Knicks know that, and yet they couldn't stop it. And if it wasn't for some fortunate things to happen at the end, and this is where coaching comes into play, the adjustments. The adjustment, you know, on trying to get somebody else to, you know, to switching it up on Brunson. And sometimes you have to commit. You got to say, hey, maybe the adjustment is going to say, okay, well, we're just going to give these guys these open shots and dare them to make 80%. You know, like, we're going to dare them to make these shots. It's going to be interesting, man, but this is going to be a series. I think, you know, I said six. Maybe because of the friendly the friendly whistle, maybe it might be six. But, man, this has a series written all over it.
A series? What do you mean by a series?
I mean, this can go either way, man. From what I saw, this can go either way. I mean, they gave the Knicks fits in that pace. And like, it's weird, like, because when you go against a team that does something totally different than most teams do, you know, you think you anticipate, yeah, we know what we got to do. But it's one thing – to see it on film. It's another thing to kind of see it at his best level. And this wasn't the best that the Pacers can play. You know, and I thought putting Hallenburton in was a mistake.
I think the opposite. I think that's as good as the Pacers can play.
You think that Hallenburton can't play better?
I think Halliburton's been like this the whole playoffs. He has not shot the ball well. He has not shot the ball well since the All-Star break.
But
he's
points?
He shot 30%. He averaged like 16 points in the Bucks series. He made big plays late, but he shot 29% from three in the Bucks series. I'm telling you, what did I tell you? The star matchup and how much offense they generate will be the deciding factor. And Jalen Brunson had 21 points in the fourth quarter. Halliburton was limited to, he just was complete no-show.
But you hear what you said,
and
though?
And that's what matters.
You hear what you said? Halliburton had, Jalen Brunson had 24 points. Where they do that at?
In the fourth quarter. He turned it on when it was winning time. With 14 points down the stretch.
Right. And listen, he made the right basketball play, giving it to DiVincenzo, but that ball bounces off. Listen, we just talked about how fortunate the Knicks were to get out of there with a win. What I'm saying is, game two is a must win for the Knicks. Because if this thing flips, Naismith.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make, though, Bart, is that they had a 10-point lead. They were playing the perfect road game. Their bench crushed.
They should have kept T.J. McConnell in.
I mean, that's the first thing. If you're in Indiana,
that's the gift.
If you're in Indiana right now, Sports Talk Radio in Indianapolis, you know that they're talking all about the phantom kickball, which wasn't a kickball, and the moving screen. That a lot of people say, how are you blowing that whistle at that moment of the game? Which I agree. I have the same thing. How do you blow that whistle? Right? It was DiVincenzo flopped. He drew the call. So they're going to focus on that. But I'm with you. To me, the huge story is that T.J. McConnell was killing the Knicks, killing them. He was 9-16, which I can't remember him missing 7 shots.
Me either.
Right? But he was 9-16. He had 18 points in 22 minutes off the bench. But he also had 3 steals. His defense, he was all over the place. This guy was a difference maker.
He's a problem.
And in the last 5 minutes, they took it. I was like, the best thing that happened was when McConnell left the game and never came back.
Yes. Thank God for OG.
And I'm telling you, Halliburton did not have it. DiVincenzo's defense against him was good. They did a good job just frustrating him, keeping off balance. The back spasms thing's a real thing clearly with him. He's not right. He only played 36 minutes. You know, you'd think your star has to start giving you 38, 40 minutes in a playoff game. That's what you do with your stars. So they were managing his minutes as well. But honestly, at some point with 3 minutes to go and you could feel the whole momentum slipping and you see your guys not shooting, Rick Carlisle's got to sit him. And you got to put McConnell back in the game. McConnell comes back in the game, I bet you the Pacers win. I bet you the Pacers win.
The Pacers are saying,
and I told you that McConnell-McBride matchup is a huge matchup in this series, and he absolutely dominated that matchup. That, to me, is why I said the Pacers were playing the perfect road game. 46-3 bench scoring. 46, Bart. And they were up 10 fourth quarter on the road, and they let it slip away for some bad decisions. Yes, the whistles. Yes, no doubt about it. But the game shouldn't have been close with 2 minutes to go. Shouldn't have been. But it was. And so the team that is the hustle team that works on, I've always said this, hustle teams get whistles. They just do. Because the referees are so hesitant because did I see what I saw there? A lot of times. So I'm telling you, the Pacers played the perfect road game, Bart, and didn't win. That's got to play with your head because you don't expect that the Knicks are going to be as bad off the bench. You don't expect some of the things that happened earlier in the game to happen. They're going to adjust defensively on the Turner stuff that was killing them. I'm telling you, man, that was the game the Pacers had to win, and they should have. It was right there for them to win, and they didn't.
They rebounded. The rebounding discrepancy wasn't what we thought.
Well, they were leading in rebounding until Josh Hart turned it on. The points in the paint, they had 64 points in the paint, Bart.
Man, listen, Josh Hart, he looked like he was working in a sauna. How this man is able to keep this pace, I have no idea.
Never gets tired.
But Jalen Brunson looked tired.
He did?
And with this,
when did he look tired?
He looked tired to me when he went and sat down. Before that, he a couple plays like this pace. You talk about a 7-game series. You talk about wearing Joel Embiid down last series.
See, I think Mitchell Robinson looked tired. I think Mitchell Robinson looked like this was too fast for him. I never saw Brunson look tired. I never saw Hart look tired. I never saw DiVincenzo look tired.
Listen, the Pacers are comfortable with this pace. Let's see.
Pace was 98, by the way. Their pace during the regular season was 105.
I'm saying let's see if the Knicks can keep this pace up for 6-7 games. You know, maybe this is something that won't show. You know, you come out like, you know, I watched the Canelo fight, and McGee was on Canelo early, bop, bop, bop. But when you got like the round five, round six, it just didn't look as crisp. It didn't look as fast.
Well, didn't we say that about Embiid and the Sixers in the whole series?
Yes. What I'm saying is, if the Knicks don't find a way, and Josh Harper's like, oh, we're comfortable with this pace. No, you're not. You are. It's funny because it's like when I used to go to Denver, right, and people talk about the altitude, but I was in such great shape, it didn't bother me.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is nothing. I'm looking at my team, I was like, oh, crap. He about to die. I watched a teammate fake an injury because he couldn't breathe. And it was a 2-minute drill for us.
Oh boy.
Sucking
wind.
Yeah. On a 2-minute drill before going into half, he faked the injury.
Now,
that's how
me.
Tired he was.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
I know you're not looking at the box score.
Yeah.
Okay. You are? Oh, okay. Then you'll know the answer. Who won the battle of fast break points?
Well, now you forced me to do some research. I would go with
he's talking about pace and everything that favored the Pacers.
I would say the Knicks. Okay,
yeah, they did. They had 20 fast break. Josh Hart is saying that because it's something that Tom Thibodeau has said throughout the year. They want to play fast at the right times, and at other times you want to slow it down, be under control. What you saw with the Knicks playing fast was this issue that has to be cleaned up. 15 turnovers.
Fifteen turnovers is not
who they are. 22 points off turnovers can be debilitating, especially when you're home.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, when you look at like the issues that are easily cleaned up, because some of the careless passing that turned into these turnovers were based off of that. They were bad turnovers. And that was at some points of the game, you were thinking to yourself, oh, my God. Like when they play fast, they make more mistakes than when they play under control. So that's something that has to be fixed. If you're going to play fast, you can't turn the ball over against this team.
Can we count on damn near 90 points from three players?
What'd they do in Game 6 against the Sixers?
This is a different beast, man.
What do you mean? They scored 118 points, and 110 of them came from those three guys.
I'm saying, all right.
Scoring and assist. This is who they – but here's the thing. This is who they are. But, Bart, this is who they are. This is who they have to be.
But all it takes –
who else is going to score?
But it can take a bad night. OG got to score.
He was 5 of 14. He only had 13 points.
Yeah, I'm saying he got to – somebody – like Hart, I'm telling you, man, he gets in foul trouble, anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Again, what has he done now in 7 playoff games? He's done this the whole playoffs. This is nothing new.
What I'm saying is,
last night was who they are, not like an aberration. That's what they are.
What I'm saying, if I'm the Pacers,
yep,
Brunson, you can score 1,000.
Well, it looked like that's what they were doing. They played him one on one.
I'm saying you can go 4,000. We about to start making sure we gonna take the air out of all this space from everybody else. Naismith, whoever we putting on them.
Naismith was in foul trouble all night because of Brunson. Nembhard was in foul trouble all night because of Brunson. Those guys had 9 fouls combined.
You know how this goes. Like, next game.
Different whistles.
The different whistles because the refs.
Right.
Refs know. So, different whistles. So, those foul troubles are different, man. And if TJ McConnell, we better figure out how to stop that. Because
that's true.
When they go look at that film, they're like, oh, no. We ain't doing this again, Halliburton. No. We love you. But the objective is to win the game.
And
we're going to make sure we take the air out from everybody else.
I couldn't believe he didn't put him back in the game because he was – I think he was their best player.
Turner led
them in scoring, but I think McConnell was their best player.
Bro, I was like, who the hell is this dude?
Oh, no, he's been around for a long time. He's been a pesky player. He goes back to the days with the Sixers. The Sixers were in the process years. They were not good.
Yeah.
The Knicks were trying to make the playoffs.
I remember now you said that.
He hit a game-winning buzzer beater over Melo.
Like, bro, you supposed to be doing my taxes. Who the hell is this dude out there, man? I'm like, is that the basketball version of Jim Leonard? Like, what, is this my dog reincarnated?
Listen, I'm telling you, you love to have him on your team. He's that kind of guy, man. He really he's a pest. He's a pain in the ass, but he works hard. He's got a great motor.
Crazy.
He's there,
motor.
Josh Hart. But he's there, Josh Hart. And he's what Deuce McBride needs to become one day in his career.
Yeah.
Like, Deuce has to become that. If Deuce's ceiling to me is T.J. McConnell. That's his ceiling. He's got to become that, and he was a zero for two, no points. And for Deuce, that's probably his worst playoff game, and most of it was because he was chasing McConnell around just getting shredded.
Yeah.
And that's got to get better. He's got to spend this whole day watching film and understanding, I'm not going up against, what's his name from the Sixers that came in with a weird shot?
Campaign.
This ain't campaign. Like, I've got to actually – this guy's going to take my lunch money every night if I don't show up. And Mitchell Robinson, this is what people were calling about. Precious Achiuwa. We saw – and I didn't know if he'd do it. We saw the Robinson-Achiuwa duo, 5-4 spot, only for 4 minutes of the first half, and it looked terrible. Isaiah Jackson was a pogo stick. He came in with great energy. Absolutely outworked those two.
Oh man, he talk about a poster.
You're talking about the Nembhard dunk, right?
Yeah.
Or is it the Neesmith? Which guy? Well, I think it was Neesmith. No, it was Neesmith who had the dunk on Robinson, and this dunk was insane. And did you see Obi Toppin's East Bay?
Yo, that take a lot of kahunas, bro.
Yeah, it does.
Especially after he missed one already
last year. Yeah,
but it's like, hey man, I know the floor here. I know the spot. I jumped off my pogo stick spot. it's like when you're playing Mario Brothers and they had those little areas where you could jump from or do something certain from.
But once again, he
was efficient with the three. Yo, he hit two or three from three. Yo. You can't let him get confidence. That's just energy, man.
Of course it is. But again, that's what game ones do. You're kind of excited for a new series, and you get at it, and they did. I mean, they didn't hesitate. They got right into this series. Like, neither team really wasted any time. The Knicks got up early. Everything looked good. But, we shall see. But you mentioned the Josh Hart
game.
Josh Hart played 48 minutes for the third time in the playoffs so far. He's the first player to play – at least three full games in the playoffs since Jimmy Butler in 2013. They had the same coach.
Right.
Josh Hart was asked if he ever gets tired.
My wife arguing with me. That makes me extremely tired.
It's a good answer.
Nah, hey. But
I mean, we all get pretty tired with that.
But I'm about to – listen, Jalen Brunson's arm would fall off from all the shots he's shooting. I'm making sure ain't nobody else, and I'm gonna take something from Philly too, put that zone in there a little bit too.
Yeah, the zone definitely is something that does give them trouble. Here's Brunson talking about McConnell.
He's been doing that for a long time. TJ has that knack of getting under skin defensively and offensively, just finding ways to make plays. You know, he's always aggressive, and not necessarily to score, but just putting pressure on you to have to react and collapse. The things he's able to do offensively and defensively just puts him at a big advantage for their team. He's a key player for them.
Now, all right, with all of that said, let's get to the real story of the night. And there was a couple of calls late. Now Brunson said it, Hart said it. They all said, we got to play better. Like, they know they stole one. They all said it. Nobody was happy about that game.
But you'd rather
be unhappy after a win. And that's how they were. So just putting all that aside, like you're saying, Bart, you have all your concerns and everything like that. The Knicks also said, we know we cannot play like this and think we're going to win. So all that aside, the anatomy of a win, though, involves – a big shot, DiVincenzo made it. It involves the hard work and hustle and extra effort. Rick Carlisle, I don't know, Jake, if you can find it. Rick Carlisle had a great line after the game when he talked about the Knicks and how they seem to just play harder and harder as you get deeper into the game. They're not a team that gets slower as the game goes on. They go harder. They go faster. They just play harder later in a game. So he said you gotta be able to deal with that. But there is also the benefit of whistles. Now, the one is before the DiVincenzo tie-breaking three was a phantom kicked ball call by the referee crew that can't be reviewed.
That's crazy.
And it's just basically they thought it went off the leg, and it went off
the leg and arm. The leg and arm was right with each other.
They were right next to each other. But it was a brutal call because that would have been 3-on-1 the other way because you saw the ball went to the middle of the floor
and
the Pacers were ready to get down the floor. It was a tie score. And so that led to the game-winning three-pointer by DiVincenzo. There's that. But then even after that, it's a one-point game. There's like 14, 15 seconds left. The Pacers have the ball, and they're doing their pick-and-pop routine between Halliburton and Turner. Turner was getting this wide-open threes. He didn't make a ton. He was 2 for 6, but he is very good from downtown. And if he makes that, who knows, right? But he was going to have a wide-open shot because DiVincenzo fights through the screen part by Turner. But as he does, he kind of like was blindsided by the screen, and DiVincenzo then uses that opportunity to accentuate the contact, I would say.
With all the actors there, they was like, wow, we can learn something from him.
Yes, wow. Everybody that has
they
been
stood up. They stood up like
– all the movie stars sitting courtside were all like –
best supporting actor in the drama.
Very
in
believable.
The drama. biggest supporting actor in a drama, DiVincenzo.
So he goes down and the whistle blows. And so that is the controversy that everybody believes on many levels. It's not that it wasn't textbook because they did review it. There was a challenge. They challenged it. And I'm like, they're overturning this. Like, there's no way they're going to call that. But in Secaucus, and I want everybody to understand this. It has to be, and we did this, remember, with the Knicks. And everybody was mad about stuff that went on. It has to be unanimous. So there's the replay official who is in Secaucus, New Jersey, where they do the replay center. Then there's Zach Zarba and his crew, and they all have to unanimously agree this is what we saw. And they all unanimously agreed, as it was explained, that Turner didn't give him time to react. Ability to see the screen. And so blind screen.
Hey, guys, here I come.
Well, it's just the danger of the contact and concussions and everything else. So they're calling that a protecting the player kind of thing, right?
Really?
So with that in mind, it's a call. Now, again, when you go letter of the law, and we all know letter of the law, what it is. But, man, that point of a game, do you really make that call? Do you really blow that whistle?
Yeah.
So here's Dante DiVincenzo talking about it.
That's kind of, you know, my mentality is just trying to get a stop. I'm going to continue to fight through ball screens, continue to fight through DHOs, you know, live with the results from the physicality. They challenged it, they reviewed it, and it was the right call. So it was a good play.
So you call that trying to fight through. He went limp noodle.
Oh, no, he definitely –
he said, hey, I'm going to continue to try and fight through. You didn't try and fight through that. You went limp noodle.
The minute he felt the contact, he went right down. That is true. Here's Rick Carlisle on it.
I don't want to talk about the officiating. We're not expecting to get calls in here. It would be nice if they laid off that one, but they didn't. So that's just the way it goes. We challenged it. They reviewed it. They got a bunch of people in New Jersey that agreed with them. So that's just the way it goes. So we got to learn from that, too. That's a timing play. Both guys are involved. So we'll have to execute that better next time.
I think he handled that the right way because, you know he's frustrated by it, but, you know, he's also just saying, look.
He don't want no smoke. He don't want no smoke.
Well, we challenged it. We did everything we were supposed to do. Yeah. This is what they did. Here's Turner about
it. Just in my experience in this league, I think it's the best when the players decide the outcome of the game. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, it happened. You know, we reviewed it. They still called it a legal screen, but it's the playoffs, man. Like, I feel like DiVincenzo did a good job of selling it. For the most part, you can't leave the game to be decided by the refs. So we have to take accountability as well. Of course, it's right at the game. I'm a little fresh with my emotions about it, but we know at the end of the day that we can't get to that position. So I think the last 2-minute report, we're all looking forward to that coming out. You know, I think there was 2 controversial calls. You know, we had to use our challenge on one call, Tyrese, and then the kickball by Aaron Nesmith that was not a kickball. I mean, you clearly see it on the replay. So we can't put ourselves in that position.
Here we go again with the L2Ms, baby. I mean, how many games now? We're 7 games into the playoffs with the Knicks, and I mean, is this like the 4th game already that we're waiting for the L2M?
L2M.
I mean, that's where it's at right now. But Bart, look, it should not have been called. Not because of, like, legal and all that. No, by letter of the law, yes, there's contact. He doesn't see the screen coming. He doesn't give him the opportunity to react or anything with it. And so you call it as you see it. But should you call it in that moment, in that situation? No. And, of course you shouldn't. But they just called one on DiVincenzo in a previous possession that was very similar to slight contact, but definitely not enough in that moment and situation to blow that whistle. So my question is this. Was that a makeup call?
I thought DiVincenzo had just set a crazy one before.
He leaned in a little, but, I mean, it was not.
But it was the same thing as Turner's, right?
You know, it was not the same because it wasn't a blindside screen. It was more that he put a chicken wing up just to make extra contact and move him. And it was also sold by the guy fighting through the screen. So similar, like, again, physical playoff series, you don't call that. Late in the game, no. Just play. Just go. It didn't have that major of an impact. You just play. But they called it there, and then they called it the other end. So when you ask for consistency, you did get it. But is that a makeup call,
or you just simply say
you don't call that there?
I guess it's different because two different people see two things differently. I wonder, was that the same ref that made that same call, or was that a different official?
I'd have to watch all side. That. Here's the thing to explain. You guys do this on SNY, so I'm sure it's really tough for you because the minute the Jets game is over. You guys go right on the air, right?
Like,
you're talking about when the clock hits zero,
As they're walking off, we're like 5, 4, 3. Yeah, they ain't even walked off the field yet.
So something happened at the end of the game, like the Monday night game with the return for the, you know, that walk-off.
Yeah, touchdown,
You don't have any time to watch anything back a second or third time just to make sure, let me get this right. Because you're getting wired up. People don't understand this. With 3 minutes to go in the game, you're getting wired up. There's a game on the monitor, but it's not as big as the TV you're watching in the green room. So, or even being in the building, which I was for three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, you got to come across the street. So you're getting wired up. You have a smaller monitor. You're trying to get all the things in your head of what needs to be said and all the notes that you're writing down. And then you sit down, and it's like 3, 2, 1, go. And it's like, I need to see that play again because I can't remember exactly what happened there. And so you've been through this with SNY, with the Jets. That's what we go through last night. And that's been the frustrating part is I still haven't had a chance to watch it all back and digest exactly what happened until during the postgame show we would show the replay over and over and over again. And that's when every time I saw every angle of that, I was like, no, you shouldn't have called that. Like, that shouldn't have been called. But they called it. And the Knicks benefited from it. And you still got to make shots. You still got to make your free throws. You still got to execute the end of the game. But you got to benefit. And the Knicks got the win. And a game one win, as I told you, Bart, is critical. 75% of the time in the second round, the winner of game one goes on to win the series. And in the seven previous series that the Knicks and Pacers have played against each other in history, the game one winner has won the series every time. So that's how critical game one was.
And you know if this game, if this series goes the other way, you know what's going to be said. And you know, that's going to be a built-in, you know, it's got to be decisive.
Oh, I can't wait for the league
if wants it's a game
the
seven,
to win.
Yeah, if it's a game seven, they want Boston in New York for ratings. You know, coming.
That's already being said. I mean, we're one game in. They're already saying that. Well, this is what the NBA wants the Knicks to win. They want this. They want this all, which is, of course, it is ridiculous. Can't deny the fact, though, that of course you want a Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Of course you do. Two major markets. You might get OKC versus Minnesota in the Western Conference Finals. Right?
Mama, there goes that man.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, we'll talk about that later. I mean, what happened in Denver? Oh, my Lord. But still. So we got calls to get to, and we'll get to them. But I don't want to hear a single Knicks fan ever complain ever again about officiating. You had the benefit last night. And it helped you win a critical playoff game. But the Knicks did not play their best game. But the question is, did the Pacers? And that's what we want to see for game two. With no time off, we have one day. We've got to play tomorrow night. So here we go. We'll get to your call. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. A big win and a controversial call last night. The Knicks beat the Pacers. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys talking about the offensive foul on Miles Turner.
But I feel like you could call an illegal screen every other possession.
I'm not disagreeing with you, which always goes back to how, as now in my sport, we always felt like in the playoffs, things weren't officiated nearly as tight as they were in the regular season. But you would get a good gauge early on what was going to be allowed and what wasn't. Are they going to be calling, like, is everything going to be called? So you would know during the course of the game, this is what's being called. So by the time you got into the most important parts of the game, you had a good idea. And that's all you want is consistency. Don't let me get away with something for the first two periods, and then all of a sudden now you want to tighten things up in the third period.
Right, you can't change the way you're officiating.
Right, that's silly.
Well, it's just not fair.
Right, but if that's what you're calling in the first, call it in the second.
But are they calling it in the first?
Yeah, it's a foul. That was a foul.
That is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, only here on 98.7 FM.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I saw the video.
7th Avenue. Yeah. I mean, it was really like, because they have all the construction starting to clear out around Penn Station in front of the Garden, so it's really nice now. And so most of the plaza is completely filled with people, whether it's coming out of the arena or coming out of the bars. Everybody just kind of converges up there. It gets wild, man.
The crazy thing is they won't have to take over 7th Avenue if behind, like where the VIP go and the Lost Tacos, that whole street can be filled up without actually disturbing traffic.
That's a good point.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be like fountains and place to sit down. It's going to be a beautiful courtyard.
That's right.
I wish that could be finished, but it probably won't be finished until next year. Yeah.
I mean, 33rd Street, I should say.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
33rd Street you can't drive on 33rd Street anymore,
right?
From 7th Avenue to 8th Avenue. It's no longer drivable. It's just sort of a, they built another entrance to the LIRR, and then they have like, it's almost like another plaza on the side. So
right.
You're right. They could all just go there and frolic, but it's all built. It's still kind of tied up in construction, so you can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's almost there. It's like, damn, we could have just pushed it up maybe another month. That would have been crazy, because they got all kind of fountains and beautiful things for people to sit and take pictures on. Lost Tacos popping right there on the corner.
It's a good spot. Did you see got Brunson's, you got Blue Ribbon billboard on 34th?
I did not, because I didn't go to the game. But hopefully, if I go Wednesday, I can be able to see it.
It's on 34th. It's a Nike billboard. It's got Brunson and his, you know, his trademark sort of celebration with the mask over the face or whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah, he deserves that. He deserves that.
And it says, "Don't sleep."
Yeah, he deserves.
Which, of course, the city that never sleeps, right?
Yeah, he deserves that, man.
He's getting a lot of shine, a lot of love. But there's so many things. I mean, so he's done four straight 40-point. Five more assist performances. in the playoffs. Do you know that's never been done in NBA history? Which is hard to believe. Like 40 points and 5 assists. Of course, it's still epic, right? But it's just hard to believe that that's never been done in playoff history. And he's done it. His scoring right now through 7 games is the most points any player has scored through a 7-game span of the playoffs since Michael Jordan in 1993. Like the names he's being connected to in the sports history and what he's done is phenomenal. And I keep going back to when people say, is this sustainable? The only comparison that I have when you look back, because while, you know, a diminutive player who is a dominant force, Steph Curry is the most recent, but Steph Curry had a squad around him, right? Like, he still had Klay Thompson, who was an all-star, and, you know, Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala at times. Like, he had, you would argue, a better, deeper team around him. And so, okay, if you're going back even further, it's got to be what we've talked about, 2001 Allen Iverson. Now, Brunson's numbers have gotten more efficient than what Iverson did that run. Iverson was under 40% shooting. But the 36 points a game he's averaging in the playoffs right now. And it's like, just AI was the last guy I could think of that's that small, that just would just shred your defense, could score at will, didn't live off the three, really more on penetration, and – you know, had mostly a supporting cast of players around him, not necessarily other high-level all-star talent. That's the closest I can come to.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great defensive center. Mutombo had some – McKee was a guy who was a threat to score, but not much. Yeah. Was Tyronn – no, Ty Lue wasn't on that squad. No. He stepped over Tyronn.
Ty Lue was on the Lakers team that he –
Yeah.
He stepped over them in game one. He got game one. The only game the Lakers lost.
Yeah, great defense. Anchored by Mutombo behind, but Eric Snow was on the ball type of guy. Got Tyrone Hill. You know what I'm saying? The guy that was – was Tyrone Hill good? I can't remember.
Yeah, of course he was.
So you had Tyrone, because everybody always made fun of his face and stuff. So it's like,
looked like something smelled really bad.
Wait, come on. He looked like an alien. Looked like a mutated version of Seal.
Like, he had the push face that, like, his expression was something stinks.
Yeah, they
something
had it
really
like,
smells.
Tyrone, who did that to you? Ain't nobody did nothing. Why you smiling? Ain't nobody smiling. Like, that's what the comedians always talk about. You always made fun of him and Sam Cassell, told him to look like extraterrestrials. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I forgot that he was good, but you had Eric McKee who could score, Snow who was a defender.
Right.
They had a couple. I can't forget about the other dude, man. He was kind of like a Barack Obama color dude. But anyway, your point, that team was really similar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I
still would say that the chemistry it was with like, Hart and DiVincenzo and Brunson, I think that's special.
Yeah, it was like Eddie. That's because the chemistry is so well.
Yeah, it is special.
He knows how to get them the ball. He knows how to get them the ball in their spots.
Yeah, and they don't look at him like, oh, you're taking all the shots. I'm jealous. Like, there's no like
animosity.
You know, you're a ball hog, and I can't get involved. Like, they just
because if that was Melo, that would be the conversation.
Yep.
Like, he a ball dominant. The ball stops and sticks. We said the same thing about Julius Randle.
Yeah.
The ball just sticks. Well, he had to make all the plays just like Brunson did. He just wasn't as good at it because his handles wasn't as good, and he wasn't a point guard. But he was trying to do the same thing, and then he spin late, and it's like, oh, dang, they know his move. Damn.
Let's grab some calls. 800-919-3776. We start with Doughboy in Queens. What's up, Dough?
What's up, guys? What's going on, man? Yo, boy, man, it's like you know exactly what's on my mind at all times or something, man.
We share a brain, my brother.
That's the same thing I said. I said, yo, if Melo was – that's the same thing Melo was trying to do with what Brunson's doing with the same shot, but they was killing him over it. But that's not about – to me, you can't make that call – at the end of the game if you're not making it in the regular of the game. I love that we got the win. I'm not giving it back. Yeah. I love it. But for the love of basketball or what I love so much, that was wrong.
If that was a series between, you know, the Pacers and the Bucks and they called that in that moment, we're all going, ah, how do you blow that whistle?
Yeah.
Right? Steve Javi, who's going to join us later in the show, he always says, don't put air in the whistle.
And if Turner would have hit that shot, we wouldn't say, oh, that was a legal pick.
No.
We wouldn't have said nothing.
No.
But with that being said, we know it's coming for us.
Go ahead, boy. Like you were saying, boy, earlier, The Knicks won the game, but can they get any? This is going to be a tough. This is going to let me know if Tibbs could coach. Because y'all know I'm not a Tibbs supporter. Uh-huh. I love what he's doing. I'm not knocking it. But for him, I got to see how he make adjustments to get another player out there to score. But this is what I say early in the season. You don't develop nobody. You don't got nobody to reach to right now.
Well, but their most important guys got hurt, though. Like, that's the whole team.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But
McBride is the guy that they developed, though, right? McBride had a great series against the Sixers. He had a really bad game one.
You know who they're going to have to dust off, right?
Don't say it.
Bert. There's no way. Oh. Yep, they're going to have to give him some minutes. I'm telling you. I love y'all show, Bart. You my man.
Appreciate it.
And all, baby.
No doubt. Let me knock on some wood because you said the patented H word. Let me keep that woosah out because you saw what happened in the other series with Reggie Jackson and all the stuff that's going on, man. It started to look like an episode of Oregon Trail. You know what I'm saying? Dudes are coming down with all kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's again, this is where you get to the second round.
It's like the battle of attrition.
The attrition starts to
take you play, and everybody's playing hard. See, this is what I love about this moment, right? When you get to the playoffs, it's different speeds.
Yep.
And everybody else is adjusting their speed. But this is the speed that the Knicks play at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's equipped to be able to maintain the pace – it's the team that always plays at this pace. See, the other teams, you know, when you get in these games, it's so important to you that you don't take plays off.
Yep.
So you got guys that's – and then what's happening is their body's not used to doing that. So it's going to wear down. But because the Knicks play at this pace all the time, because Hart plays all the time, you're not asking Hart to pull a James Harden once somebody get injured and play the whole time, right? You asking him to do what he's just always been doing. So his body is conditioned. He has callus around doing it. Everybody else, when they shorten their rotations, guys are playing. You even see the Joker. Like, hold up, man.
He was sucking wind.
And like, bro, you in your environment. You're supposed to be used to this. We're supposed to be sucking wind.
Right, right. We're the ones playing altitude. You live at the altitude.
Right, exactly.
But game one, he also was gassed.
My point.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So this is what gives me faith that, hey, man, hopefully, man, please, just let the Cavs play hard. Let everybody play at that pace when everybody used to cruise and everything's so easy, and now it ain't easy no more. Let's watch these dudes get hurt. So now we can say thank you, Tibbs, for making these guys play so damn hard all the time and giving them all these minutes all the time, because now this is like practice for them. When everybody else, they're like, hold up, man, that check engine light. You know when you drive and your RPM's too high? You know what I'm saying? When you got that stick shift and you're like, oh, let me change the gear. Like, I got to go in fourth. I got to go in fifth. Like, the Knicks don't have to do that. And that's a testament to him running their ass into the ground. He got him. I feel like they running old Delilah, you know what I'm saying, from Coach Carter. You know what I'm saying? They full court press. You know what I'm saying? They ain't getting no rest. You know what I'm saying? Water's for cowards. You know, pick the movie that you're talking about, Junction Boy. You know, the Remember the Titans, pick anybody where you feel like the players were being abused, and because Tibbs has abused these kids and Jay Wright has made them equipped to it, everybody just bought into it and just toughened up.
It's the callous thing you just talked about, and what, like, this is going to be in the, if the Knicks can survive to at least the conference finals playing this way and then they just get out talented, I do think the conversation could become like, are the Knicks showing you that maybe you need to play more in the regular season, and this idea of breaking down is false, and that it's better to be built up by the time you get to the postseason. We shall see. All right, more calls to get to, a ton of them. You never know who's going to pop on the show. Like I said, I've been reaching through my phone just trying to find different people to come on and discuss with us. Of course, people you'd love to hear from Knicks history and other places. Steve Javy, though, has agreed to join us. Of course, our ESPN rules official. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll go into all the stuff that happened late in the game, what he saw, why that foul was called, and everything else. Because you do need to hear that side of it. Well, what happened here? The Knicks did benefit, but it doesn't mean we just ignore it. Just because if it hurt the Knicks and cost them a game, you know we'd be talking about
top five.
So we certainly have to do it.
Same thing, make you laugh, make you cry.
That's right. But before we get back to calls and everything else, Bart, tell me about Samwell.
Yeah, man. Friends go see my friend, Dr. Jay Shaw. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time for you to reclaim your active lifestyle, and all you got to do to do that is call my friend, Dr. Jay Shaw, today at Sandwell Pain. Dr. Shaw treats back, joint, neck, sciatica, nerve pain. Dr. Shaw is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, no scars, no incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shaw today to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without any pain medication. Enjoy your pain-free life. Same day or next day appointments are available. Go to SandwellPain.com and put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shaw by going to SandwellPain.com right now. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Sandwell Pain now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand-new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SandwellPain.com. You wish you met Dr. Jay Shaw a lot sooner. Most major insurances are accepted.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
A lot of people want to talk about it, and you know what I'm talking about,
of course.
I
feel it in my hands.
So the Gardeners, we're back to that like every other night thing. So the Rangers win Sunday. The Knicks win last night. The Rangers play tonight. So we'll see if they can keep the streak going. The Rangers and the Hurricanes game two tonight at the Garden. And then Wednesday, so there's no days off. Wednesday will be game two of the Knicks and the Pacers game. So we just keep it rolling. So we'll talk certainly about that. So it's not just strictly about that. It's also anticipating game two, Rangers and the Hurricanes. Let's get back to calls, Bart. Let's talk to Noel in Piscataway. What's up, Noel?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up, Bart?
What up? What up, Noel?
Chilling. Listen, man. So first of all, I bought the Jets season tickets again when they signed my friend from Philadelphia, it was Hassan Medic. Not going off script, but listen.
they draw you back in. Every time you think you're out, they draw you back in.
They got me back in. I bought them. So anyway, moving on, let me just say a couple of things I think I need to get noticed and to confirm here. First of all, Josh Hart is the heart and soul of the Knicks. That dude is 6'4", among the trees and just rocking them.
He's Draymond Green. He's the glue.
Yeah, he really is.
Draymond?
Well, Draymond's the glue. No. Not play-wise. He's the glue. He's the glue.
Yeah, I get it. And he's 6'8". I mean, Draymond's 6'8". You know, Hart is 6'4". It's just amazing to watch him go. The second thing I think that needs to be talked about a lot, and it's kind of more of a sentimental thing, right? I think that those videos with Brunson and his dad need to get out there more. I mean, it's so touching and eye-opening, you know, cause for the life that we see today with kids not really listening, thinking they know everything, to see his humble start and beginning to where he is now, it needs to be, you know, broadcasted out there more. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the series itself, right? Now, what's going on with Bogdan? Is he coming back?
He's done.
He broke his ankle.
He's done.
He had to have surgery on his ankle and his wrist. Yeah. So when Batum already had a wrist issue, and then when Batum fell on him, I think it was game three.
Broke both.
He broke his ankle, and so he had to get surgery on that. So then he's done.
Yeah, because that would have been an easy 17 points that we could rely on if he was coming back. But we have to find another
more like seven.
Yeah. I would say 15 points to really take control of the series. And it segues me into my next comment, right? If you notice, the last, let's say, five games in Philadelphia and now with Indiana, what has been the common theme the Knicks have played at? They play at the pace of stay, keep it competitive for 3.5 quarters, and then we'll funnel it through Brunson heavy in the last half of the fourth quarter to control the game and win the game. That's what's been winning us games. Keep it competitive 3.5 quarters, and then let's close it out besides the time we lost in the last 28 seconds, right? So I think they have it down to a science now, and I think that's what they're doing. If you look at the consistency of how they've been doing that, that's what I've seen. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's basically what Rick Carlisle said, is that they play harder as the game goes on. And that's just what they've been doing. So a lot of times other teams, they'll take a lead and get, I don't know if you get a false sense of security or whatever it is, but they're just never going to stop. I mean, that's the fourth time, Bart, in the playoffs that they've won a game that they've trailed at halftime.
Yeah.
Fourth straight game, I believe.
Well, they keep coming, and it's like the advantage eventually goes to the team that's behind, because like it's natural that you kind of take the foot off the gas, or people like they don't execute so much. Guy feel like, oh, let me get a shot. I ain't took a shot, or you get a like OG, like get into the passing lane twice. Like guys get kind of lackadaisical. You saw it a little bit in the other game, but it was so far ahead that you got down to 19 when it was up 30. You're like, well, why doesn't it stay at 30? It just naturally happens,
right?
And the Knicks just keep coming, and if you let them hang around and you don't give them the death blow, you don't stump them out, they come back like Michael Myers.
New York cockroaches. When you think you stomp them, they're crawling back up your leg.
New York rats. You step on it, man. You don't see me walking here, son?
The only way you step on a rat in New York is if you're climbing up on him with a saddle. All right, we'll continue with the calls. And speaking of that Denver-Minnesota thing, I mean, that's serious. How is it 2-0 heading to Minnesota? What is going on with the champs? And something that happened in that game, could that cost them game three? Controversy. You think controversy last night in the Knick game?
Oh,
controversy.
What time is Javi coming on?
Denver.
I can't
He's
wait.
Coming
to see
on it too.
Can't wait. Can't wait to hear about that.
Right. So we got more of your calls to get to. Discuss that. Rangers Hurricanes game two as well. If you want to get calls in on that, you certainly can. But first, Bart's got to tell us about BetMGM.
Mm-hmm. Hey, baseball fans, you want to go yard with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks? All season long, they're offering top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same game parlays, special boosts, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are so many ways to supercharge your excitement. Whether you want to combine multiple bets for a chance at bigger payouts or place live bets as the game unfolds, BetMGM has all your home run betting options you need all season long. Download the BetMGM app, head over to the ballpark, and get in on your piece of the MLB action. BetMGM is the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older and physically present in New York only. Subject to eligibility requirements, rewards issued as non-withdrawable bets that expire 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, so far in the season, he's hitting just .205, slugging just a little over .400. Not exactly a hot start for Pete Alonso. Earlier this morning on DPH with Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said Alonso could be on the way out the door.
If they wanted to keep him, they would have approached him for an extension. Why would you let a guy play his free agent year? They were going to trade him last season.
Right. That's when I think there was a lot of kind of eyebrows went up. Well, what do you mean? And it wasn't just they were talking. It sounded like it was real close to being done.
It felt like it was in the red zone.
So yeah. That was like, whoa, okay. Now maybe he isn't going to be a Met for life. And then we didn't know what he hires Scott Boras for a reason, right? So,
he's going to want to get paid. But Scott Boras failed his clients this offseason.
Of course he did. He had a brutal season. But, in his mind, I feel like he thinks he's more he's more Aaron Judge than he is Matt Olson or Freddie Freeman.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.